Ken Woolley is one of the country's most distinguished architects. Since he graduated 55 years ago, he has designed many notable buildings, particularly in Sydney. They include not only the ABC headquarters, the building from which I'm speaking to you now, but Fisher Library at the University of Sydney, the Park Hyatt Sydney, the former State Office Block, buildings on the Olympic site, low-cost housing, the Victorian State Library, the Australian Embassy in Bangkok, and many more. His name will always be associated with the firm Archer, Mortlock and Woolley, and his house designs for the firm Pettit and Sevitt made a great contribution to raising the quality of commercially available houses in Australia. And among his more recent achievements, he's just written a book reviewing the design of the Sydney Opera House, called Reviewing the Performance. So it's my pleasure to welcome Ken Woolley to today's By Design Conversation Spot. Ken, welcome.
Thank you.
The most obvious question to ask you about your new book is why you thought there was a need for another book about the Opera House when there's already been so much written about it.
Well, not one of them is a critical appraisal of the building. They're all either about the drama or they're hymns of praise rather than critically examining the design. So it was about time that was done. In fact, it was very important that it be done, in my view. But it happened to coincide with me putting together writings that I've been doing for some time on, I suppose, philosophy and theory of architecture to do with the great dilemma that architects face in an art in which they have to satisfy the performance of a building that someone else is paying for. And it raises the whole issue of autonomy in art and freedom of expression and so on.
You suggest that Jørn Utzon, the architect of the Opera House, was presented with an insoluble problem. What was the problem and why wasn't there a solution?
Well, there's more than one insoluble problem. My remark in the book on that point was really that about a methodology which had developed in his work, which assumed that all problems have solutions. It took the view that given enough time, given enough effort, enough patience, the problem would be solved. And, of course, philosophically and logically, not all problems have solutions. And he encountered a very large number of them. But inherently in the brief, there is an insoluble problem anyhow, which is that you can't combine at the level of excellence a large concert hall and an opera theatre.
Why can't you do that? I mean, you mean you can't do it on that site or you can't do it anywhere?
No, you can't do it. The formula for an opera theatre is about 1,800 seats, something of that order, preferably smaller. The formula for a concert hall for symphony performance is 2,800, 3,000 seats. Originally, it asked for 3,500. And concert music requires at least 30% more volume per seat than opera for the right acoustic qualities. They've also got different viewing angles. The whole performance issues are different.
You've controversially suggested that the solution to the problem with the Opera House is not to spend $800 million fixing it up, but to take the opera out of the Opera House and build a new one adjacent to it in the Botanic Gardens. If that idea has any merit, here's another one. Sydney CBD waterfront is about to undergo a huge urban change with the development of Barangaroo. If we need a new opera house, why not build it there?
Well, that idea is not in the book. I've steered well clear of it. It's an idea I put forward 3 years or so ago, simply by an observation that there was a site in which you could do it. And the merit of it was that instead of a sort of incredibly stupid waste of hundreds of millions of dollars demolishing something and rebuilding it, you, for the sort of money, you could build a large opera theatre at the Opera House, connected beneath the forecourt in the way that other things will be, and you get three venues instead of two. You get a small opera theatre, a large opera theatre, which is much needed, and it would work. Simply an idea. Whether it's better to do it Barangaroo, I don't think it is. Some people would say it is. The disadvantage, of course, is that the major opera theatre would become the home of the Australian Opera, so the Australian Opera would have to move to Barangaroo with all their facilities, and the Opera House would lose a certain sort of cachet that it has.
Well, the architecture critic Elizabeth Farrelly referred to your book as that rare thing, a book that had to be written, and she doesn't bestow praise lightly, so congratulations on it. And
it's listen, much appreciated.
And listeners can find details on our website. Turning to your own career, I want to ask you about the State Office Block in Sydney, which actually was demolished to make way for Renzo Piano's Aurora Place. Well, they say time heals all wounds. How do you feel now about the loss of that building?
Well, I think my feeling is irrelevant. It was demolished to make money rather than to make Renzo Piano building. The Renzo Piano building is a way of offering a kind of sweetener for the loss of quite a serious piece of architecture. Unfortunately, the timing was such that I was the lone protester, and now it couldn't possibly happen. A building of that seriousness would be the result of very strong objection. But maybe it drew everyone's attention to that sort of issue.
Are you able to assess the Renzo Piano building, or does your regret at the loss of your own just make it impossible to judge?
Well, I don't think my opinion of it is of any relevance to the real issues. The real issue is whether you purely for financial reasons, you are prepared to destroy a work of art. An example might be, let's say, a gold statuette. Is it better to melt it down because gold's now worth four times what you paid for it, or is its artistic value greater than its literal or inherent value?
On ABC Radio National, you're with By Design, and I'm talking to the distinguished Australian architect Ken Woolley about his work, his life and times. Ken, you've designed a number of houses for yourself. I wonder what being your own client teaches you. What have you learned from the experience of housing yourself?
Well, you're using yourself as a guinea pig in a way, but partly you're being self-indulgent. I suppose you can do experimental things that don't have the problem of convincing your client that that's what they ought to do. But it also, it's like doing a painting or a drawing. You know, you do it and you put it up for show, and someone says, I like that, or they don't like it. Meanwhile, you've done it, so you've got to be responsible for it. They've been wonderful experiences.
The late Harry Seidler was a keen photographer, and he published a book of his architectural photographs. Over the years, in your own travels, you've drawn buildings and scenes that captured your imagination, and indeed you've published those drawings. In this digital age, what is it that you feel is still important about using the hand, using the pen or pencil to sketch what the eye sees?
Well, of course, photography can be a medium for art, just as oil paint or whatever. And drawing is a medium. So when you do it, you're actually... the drawing isn't the place, the drawing is the drawing. And it has a status of its own. The snapshot or as a record of a place is a different exercise altogether. If you have the facility to do it and you have the observation and the interest to find viewpoints that perhaps illuminate something about the place, at least yourself, and people find them amusing, then that's a good thing to do.
Your career has covered vastly different projects, a glasshouse in Sydney's Botanic Gardens, a control tower at Sydney Airport, and a Mormon chapel in Lura. Is there anything you still ache to design?
No, not really. I've had a long, I have to admit, reasonably fruitful career. My buildings aren't being demolished at too great a rate for me, while I'm still alive. And we're doing very exciting things. We're just reviving Petterton Sevett. In fact, if it hadn't rained today, we'd have poured the slab on the prototype house. Oh. And I spent the last 4 years trying to foster that.
Well, we look forward to seeing where that leads. For details of Ken Woolley's new book reviewing the performance, the design of the Sydney Opera House, head to our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. Ken Woolley, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
And head for the website if you want to comment on any of this week's stories and to share your thoughts and observations with us and your fellow listeners. Or, of course, you can email us. You can hear us every Wednesday between 3 and 4 p.m., on Saturday morning between 9 and 10, whenever you like on the web. We're produced by Jan Ryan and Mark Wakely. Anne-Marie de Bettencourt is the sound engineer, and I'm Alan Saunders.